In comes Radish with a chance, and back on touch scores! Tanner Radish! 2 goals in the first minute and 39 seconds, and it's 2-0 Canada. Points, including 23 goals in Erie. He's on their top line with Dylan Strowman and DeBrincat, who will be in the tournament for the United States, and he gets Canada on the board here, a 2-0 lead in the first 3 minutes.
That is a second-round pick of the Tampa Bay Lightning. There are 5 Lightning prospects on the Canadian roster, including Radish. You mentioned he plays with Dylan Strome in Erie, but...
You'll have to actually watch the television tonight to get Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro, unlike a couple of nights. No,
they're on.
Really?
Yeah, we got Gord and Ray on our station tonight.
I thought they moved over to the full-time radio crew tonight. So you were mistaken on Monday, and I'm mistaken today. Hey, what a reason to celebrate. You get Gord and Ray together on the radio.
There you go.
We need an intro. Hold on, Gord. You have a paid introduction that we have to run. Don't we? Gord?
Yeah? It's Wrangler Gene.
Yeah, I know. But, Rod is off, and I guess he failed to inform Dave that you are sponsored by Wrangler Jeans, and, you know, Carey Price wears them, and Brett Favre wears them, and Michael Farber wants to wear them. And
hey, I wear them.
Gord wears them. Pierre LeBrun wears them. Are we going to get to this?
How about this? Hang on. Miller in the Afternoon with Melnick, brought to you by Wrangler Jeans.
Let's try this one.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Wrangler's premium performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Carey Price. Choose Wrangler's Cool Vantage Jeans to be cool and stay cool.
Yeah, valiant effort, Gord, but this one's pretty good. We can thank the Shonster for that one. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Hello from Ottawa, and I'm doing very well.
Here we go. This is when Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro, you become extended members of the family. You know, right?
We come to your house for the holidays whether you want us to or not.
Who doesn't
your Uncle Fred?
Who doesn't want you? It's not like you're sitting there drinking their liquor.
Yeah, we'll put our feet up on your coffee table, eat your food, you know, say something outrageous.
Gord, it's just more of a professional question because I know doing play-by-play on TV is different than doing it on the radio, but when you're doing both, are you adjusting your game a little bit?
No. I do the TV call and if I'm doing primarily radio, then I would do a different call. But for this part, I do just a TV call.
And again, for those of you in your cars, you'll get Gord and Ray together. By the way, first off, let me deal with this. I've touched on this earlier. We talked to Ray in the aftermath of Craig Cunningham collapsing on the ice. It looked bleak, beyond bleak. They're both from Trail, British Columbia. And to see him today in front of the camera speaking and being able to thank the people who saved his life and thank all the members of the hockey community who were thinking about him, it was just, this is almost unbelievable.
It is, and I think that, the unfortunate thing is it took Craig Cunningham getting sick for people to realize what a great person he is. I didn't know him very well. Ray and his son Landon know him very well and introduced me to him. He's a terrific guy, and I and people around hockey said that before he got sick. Terrific character person, and the kind of guy that people said is going to coach someday, is a leader, the kind of person that people rally around. You know, his story is, as Ray got into, his father was killed in a car accident when he was young. His mother raised 3 boys on her own. It's a remarkable, sad story, and I'm glad he's better, but I share Ray's thing. He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, and again, so, for those who didn't see it or hear it, here's just a snippet.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I want to thank everyone from the fire department to our trainers, to the doctors at St. Mary's, to the doctors at Banner, to every single nurse that that has helped me so far. If I could actually use some names from St. Mary's, Dr. George and Dr. Reza, and from Banner Hospital, Dr. Kalpi, Dr. Hughes, and Dr. Yankas. Without those 5 people, our trainer Devin, and the fire department, I don't think I'd be here today. So thank you.
There it is, Craig Cunningham earlier today. Anything you want to add to that before we move
on? There was a piece in the Tucson paper today with the nuts and bolts about how he was resuscitated. They performed CPR on him for over an hour to the point where his heart was black and blue.
My goodness.
His heart was bruised from the CPR. It's an extraordinary story, and you know, you think about Craig and hope he's okay and for his family, too.
Gord, again, is in Ottawa. It's the second pre-tournament game for Team Canada, coached by Denis Ducharme.
He has matured. We see him right now, and, you know, he came in really close last year, and we see him right now getting, you know, he got better and better, and he's, you know, he's stronger, he's faster, and he's got more experience, and you know, he's just a little bit of better player, and he improved all around, I think.
On the one guy that Canadiens fans obviously want to see a lot of, and that's Noah Gyltson. First of all, what's your impression of Coach Ducharme?
Like him. You know, Dom had a tough time last year. His father passed away while he was overseas at the tournament, and he elected to stay. So he was, you know, he kind of realized a dream to be at the World Junior Championship, but then it was a really difficult situation for him. I think he's a no-nonsense guy. Reminds me a lot of Craig Hartsburg in terms of approach to players. He's very sort of hands-off with the players in terms of not in their face a lot, gives them sort of a structure and lets them execute it, and wants the room to run the room. He wants the players to run the room. But a very detailed guy, and I think that it'll be interesting to see this team. This defense is really interesting. You mentioned Gyltson. They've got Thomas Chabot, who's the Ottawa first-round pick. Then they got Philippe Myers, a player that went right through the NHL draft in 2015, unpicked by 30 teams seven times, signed by the Flyers as a free agent, and who has now emerged as one of their top prospects. So a really interesting story there.
Gord, just to stay with Ducharme for a second, because I see him coach this team, and it flashes back. He was an assistant with when Pascal Vincent was the head coach with the Montreal Juniors, and Dominic Ducharme could hardly speak a word of English, and he was very reserved, and I could see his personality there. But I also see in these interviews there is a personality, and he does come out a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, talking to his former players, he coached that Halifax team that won the Memorial Cup a couple of years ago. He had Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, those guys. They all said he's quite the card, he's quite the cut-up. His English seems fine to me. I mean, hey, it's better than my French. So, I mean, no, he's an interesting guy. I think he's just a very no-nonsense, down-to-business guy who's going to just run things the way he wants to run them, but primarily let the players dictate how the room is run.
With Gord Miller every Wednesday. It's been a treat having Gord on this year every Wednesday at 6.
It's been fun being on with you.
Here we go. Let's go.
I feel like I cheated on you. I feel like I cheated on you last week, though.
Who are you?
I did Leafs lunch. So I feel like I kind of stepped out on you.
Well, you know how I feel about that? I feel like I'm helping you do more radio, which you should be doing.
Okay.
Why don't you do more radio? Seriously.
I'm a little busy. I'm a little busy.
You want busy? Check Campbell's schedule. You want busy.
True.
Here is one of Gord Miller's greatest hits of 2016. You thought you'd never hear it again.
There's 230 defensemen in the NHL, roughly, you know, give or take. And PK is probably in that range of 15 to 20.
But 15 to 20?
For most hockey people, he's not in the top dozen defensemen in the NHL. I think P.K. Subban is a very good defenseman. The question I would ask people is, and you know, I was on with you when the World Cup roster was announced, and people in Montreal were outraged that P.K. Subban wasn't named to the team. But the problem is, outside Montreal, not many people disagreed with it.
Remember that?
Yep.
So,
you know, and listen, I mean, my opinion hasn't changed. He's a very good defenseman. If you're asking me, is he one of the top 15 defensemen in the league? I'm not a professional talent evaluator, but the people that do it for a living, for the most part, would say no.
Where would you put P.K. Subban, Sean, since most that conversation took place with Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis?
After watching him for pretty much his whole career with Montreal, I think I have him in probably around the 10 spot.
Yeah, yeah. And Gord, you moved a little on that.
Yeah, right? I mean, look, I love P.K. Subban as a player. I think what you have to assess, and it's a different opinion for everyone, you have to decide, are you willing to live with the risk? You know, so for example, Erik Karlsson is a better offensive defenseman than Drew Doughty is. Most hockey people would prefer Drew Doughty over Erik Karlsson because he doesn't leave as much on the table as Karlsson does. He doesn't take the risks that Karlsson does. So it depends what you want. And I think that the issue is with PK, and we've been over this before, twofold. Number one is the risk, and number two is the penalties. And so if you can live with those, then you're getting a very high-end, creative defenseman with a really good shot who's dangerous on the power play. But most hockey people would take Shea Weber over PK Subban right now. Now, in 5 years, would they? Probably not. But right now, I don't know many hockey people at all who would say that PK Subban is better than Shea Weber. I can't think of any hockey people who would say that.
Yeah, which takes us to the analytics crowd, which was another right. One of your best hits of 2016. We don't have time to get into all that, but yeah. that was a moment that all. Do you hear like via Twitter or any other social media when you have come on and you know drop some strong opinions?
I'll make a confession to you. I mean, it's not a confession because I've said it before. My mentions on Twitter are blocked, so I can't. The only thing I can see on Twitter is what people that I follow say back to me. So if I don't see what people say back.
And here's the other one.
And if anyone thinks this is going to replace the Olympics, I can't see it in the minds of fans at the very least. Now, there's a compelling case we made for from an owner's point of view. They get all the money from this. They get none of the money from the Olympics and all the money from this. But this is not the Olympics. It's not the Olympic stage. It's not countries. It's nothing. It's not. It'll be fun, but I don't think in anyone's mind this will replace NHL players being in the Olympics.
All right. I saved that one for the last one, Gord, on the World Cup, because I did see a quote of yours, so it must have been on Leafs Lunch, that people have told you, players have told you how tired they are already.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. That's very true. So, Mitch, a normal NHL season is 186 days long. Because of the World Cup, it started 7 days late, so you're down to 179. Then you build in a five-day break that every team is going to have, and now you're playing your 82 games in 174 days, which doesn't sound like much. But don't forget, too, that teams are submitting a lot fewer dates for their potential home games, so the schedule gets really compressed. I mean, Boston played L.A. last Sunday. The Bruins were playing their seventh game in 11 days. The L.A. Kings were playing their third game in 4.5 days. They played Thursday night, Friday night, and we're now playing Sunday afternoon. It was a 1-0 Boston win. To be perfectly honest, what did you expect? What did you expect?
It's a little bit what happened to Anaheim and Montreal last night.
Right.
Everybody's blaming their schedule.
I mean, I watched that game last night. I mean, look, Montreal was the better team last night, but you're charging pretty fair ticket prices to this. You want to be entertained. It's very hard for teams to be at their best when they're playing this much in this short a period of time. And then you get a stretch where a team will play three games in 15 days. But the compressing the schedule is really tough because I'm not saying, oh, woe are the NHL players. They make lots of money. It's a great life. But I'm saying if you want them to perform at their best, I can't imagine a Bruce Springsteen would play five concerts in six nights.
Well, so let me ask you, before we finish up with Gord Miller, again, Gordon Ray with the play-by-play of Canada and the Czech Republic pre-tournament game from Ottawa, something I threw at Pierre about the World Cup, because the last time we had a World Cup, there was no hockey season to follow.
Right.
It was the lockout. Do you think, as much as the Players Association understands that, you know, money doesn't talk, it swears, that enough players will speak up and say, hold it? This was not. We can't go through this again during the regular season, if we're going to have a World Cup. Do you think that's possible?
You mean having a World Cup and then a lockout in 2020? Because I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, let's do a brighter scenario than that. Maybe a full season in 2020, but no World Cup.
No, I think there will be a World Cup in 2020, no matter what.
Okay.
They're committed to it. They want to have it. They're going to tweak it. I don't believe NHL players are going to. Well, shouldn't say that. I think some NHL players are going to go to the Olympics. It'll be American League guys and guys who are, you know, not playing very much. That on a case-by-case basis, the federations are going to ask for them. But I don't believe you're going to see Sidney Crosby and the big stars in the Olympics. And I believe we will see a World Cup in 2020. But I do think there's a very good chance that there'll be a lockout right after.
All right, final one from Sean.
Yeah, I just saw you last night tweeting a lot about Jaromir Jagr and that accomplishment that he had tying Mark Messier.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jagr's had a great career. I think the most amazing thing about it is he has become this beloved elder statesman. 15 years ago, that was hard to imagine. 12 years ago, that was hard to imagine. He left Pittsburgh under bad circumstances. He left Washington under bad circumstances. He has really rehabilitated, since they rehabilitated, but he's turned his behavior and image to a point where he is universally beloved. That wasn't always the case, and I think that's an amazing accomplishment.
Kind of like George Foreman when he won the heavyweight, right, at 45?
Andre Agassi is the best parallel I can come up with. He was a hated tennis player in the first half of his career and became beloved, and that's very much like Jagr.
Gord, I want to thank you. I'm done. I hope to see you in Montreal.
Forever? Like you're quitting?
Well.
This is it?
It might be. With you. Yeah, it might be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm going to see you in early 2017, right? I'll see you here.
You're going to go to a game? Really?
You know, I was kind of hoping to, you know, maybe have a pint or something rather than.
Well, we will have a pint. So the Bell Center is right next, right between the Marriott and the Sheraton hotels. Do you know where that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice talking to you. Aren't you glad you have me on now?
All the best to Gord Miller. It is a lot of fun having you on every Wednesday at 6:05.
Thanks.
Gord and Ray Ferraro with the play-by-play Canada-Czech Republic pre-tournament game.